Welcome back, everybody. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN, live in the Allstate studio here on the 7th floor of the Trib Tower, here till 5. My first guest has been on the show many times and is great. His name is Tom Britton. He's the creator of Freak Show and Tell, which is a mashup of science, history, and insanity. And he's going to be performing at the next three Sundays at the Trickery, 3453 North Halsted in Chicago. And we welcome Tom back to the show. How you doing, man?
Hey, good. Good morning / late evening to you all.
It's good to see you, man. First of all, tell me about the Trickery. Why do I not know this space?
This is really cool. It's because it's tiny. It is smaller than your studio. If you have a home and don't live in a one-bedroom apartment like me, it is smaller than your living room. It's about the size of my living room, and I live in Buena Park in a one-bedroom Chicago apartment.
Yeah.
Tiny little venue. Maybe he can do 40 seats. I'm doing 30.
Mm-hmm.
My show's a little more sprawling. So it's one guy named Aaron. He's a magician, and he's doing – that's why it's called Trickery.
Yeah.
He's right across the street from Hydrate in Boys Town.
Okay.
So if you know Boys Town at all, you know Hydrate.
Right.
Right across the street is Trickery. It's got a little window that looks out on the street, which is great when I'm eating fire. Behind the audience is a window.
Yeah.
And I actually made a lady run into a pole last week. Barely, but she clipped it. She was watching me and hit the pole. I have not yet had, though I do had two of the dancers at Hydrate mm-hmm. in a little skimpy got in a fight in the street in the middle of my show, so we paused to watch that action. You think Beyonce does a halftime show. Those
right.
gentlemen really bring it out.
Oh, that's great.
I have not yet had any nudity in my show, but Aaron has during his magic show, people pressing against the glass. A little anatomy lesson for the, yeah,
there you
fun.
Go. Well, we have the showcase studio downstairs.
So hey, yeah, I've same
had,
thing.
I've had anatomy pressed yeah. on the glass while I've worked down there.
And test your professionalism, whether you yeah. just keep going with news, weather, and sports on the 10s
yeah.
coming up.
Yeah, exactly. But it's funny because, you know, like when I used to, because I had a Saturday evening show, and yeah. so I used to do it down in the showcase studio. I prefer it up here.
Yeah.
But I, one of the reasons is because, I mean, I got inured to it, so it was, you yeah. know, like I got used to it. But my guests would be easily distracted.
Yeah.
Well, I can tell you a very quick story. One time I was down there and I was sitting in on the midday show yeah. and filling in on the midday show. And my guest was Tom Green. And
oh,
he was live in studio. And Tom Green is, well, as you can probably tell, easily distracted
yeah.
and will do weird things when weird things happen around him.
He also attracts weird things.
He does. He does. And it was, I have to say this, it was the first day of our new program director.
Ooh.
And our new program director walked by the showcase studio and Tom Green started making fun of him. He didn't know he was the new program director. I did. And so I'm walking by and I was just like, don't say anything, Tom. Please don't say anything. And he started making fun of him. So
that's amazing.
Yeah. So lots of live things happening. Tom, welcome back to the show.
Thank you so much for having
me. It's been a while since I talked to you. You've been keeping busy.
Yeah, yeah. I just wrapped the Danger Circus wrapped in December.
Yeah.
So 3 years on the road. And now Carrie is in, well, he's going to be opening a magic pavilion in Thailand, mostly working behind the scenes in production, which is his dream. He's a heck of a magician, but he's really good at production for shows. They're in Germany. That's where the production studio is, to open a place in Thailand. Chuck is a man of mystery. Chuck has plans. Of the three of us, he is the most eccentric.
Yeah.
So Carrie and I are not sure what Chuck is doing. He may be in a volcano, plotting to take over the Earth,
yeah.
or just hanging out with his girlfriend.
Just
somewhere
not
in
sure.
that spectrum.
Just
no
not
idea.
Sure. And,
he'll pop up eventually.
So real quick, I want to get your background here really
yeah,
quickly.
Sure, absolutely.
Tell everybody what you do and what you've come from. You began doing sideshow acts when you were really young.
So I lived in rural Louisiana in the Deep South, and the carnival came to town, and there's my summer job. Every job pays the federal minimum wage. So, well, you know, when you're 16, actually, I started at 15 asking for the job, got it at 16 because they said
yeah.
no a bunch of times.
Right.
So you can go flip burgers or deliver pizza, and that pays the same as what I figured, which is like, you know, at least I'd be at the carnival every night, sweep the lot, paint this, scrape gum off of that, the normal job you would
yeah.
get at 16, 15 years old.
Yeah.
I asked. By the time I was 16, they said, sure, okay, fine, we need someone. Maybe it was luck, maybe it was persistence, maybe it was both. It didn't take long before they discovered, at the same time I did, that I had that gift for gab, which is mostly just I'm not bothered to be talking to 50 people at once.
Right.
That's fine. I'm no better at it than the average person, but I'm not scared to death of it.
Right.
So I got good at it rather quickly relative to everyone else
right.
who stammered and yammered and hemmed and hawed.
Right.
And so I became the talker or barker.
Mm-hmm.
Now I'm revenue. I was okay at that, which means I bring in a little more money than the other guy.
Right.
Now it doesn't fall on deaf ears when I say, please teach me these things. Finally, the owner essentially says, would someone shut this kid up and teach him to eat fire?
Right.
Just he's a valuable employee, but God,
yeah,
all
yeah.
the time, right? That's how I started learning circus sideshow. Every summer, And then when I graduated high school, I thought I was done with school. In my world, you finish high school, you're done. That's school. Go start a family now. Go get a job at, you know, Walmart or the docks or whatever. Shrimping, etc. I went on the road with the circus sideshow for 2 years before it occurred to me that college might be an option. Mm-hmm. I was a good student. Mm-hmm. Why wouldn't it have been? Well, no one mentioned it to me.
Yeah.
And so I went to college after a heck of a gap year, had amazing stories, and then got a degree in applied sciences. And that explains the mashup. This redneck kid goes to the freak show and then gets an interest in science and a little bit. It's a undergraduate degree.
So you take you taken your educational experience and your sideshow experience. You've combined it and you've made Freak Show and Tell.
Well, when you ask me like, how do you eat fire? Better than the average person, better than someone, say, a literature degree or an art history degree, I can explain to you a little bit better than average. I'm no physicist.
Right.
I'm no Neil deGrasse Tyson.
Right.
But a little better than most. So the answer became part of the show. So the first 20 minutes of the show, for example, you can see it online. In fact, I videoed the thing. You can see it in beautiful HD. I eat fire.
Yeah.
And then if you've ever wondered, well, doesn't that burn? How did you learn that? How do you do that? I'm the opposite of a magician. The opposite of every other show at Trickery, which is why I think he likes me there. I break it down and explain to
how it's
you.
You
should have more answers than you had questions, or I failed as my job as an applied scientist.
Okay. All right. Tom, hang on, okay? We have to break for the news, and Tom brought some things down here. We'll describe them to you, and we can tell you how you can see Freak Show and Tell. Right now, though, we got a break for the news, which is coming up in 14 seconds. All right. Welcome back, everybody. How are you? Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. We're live in the Allstate studio, 7th floor of the Trib Tower. We're here until 5 a.m. 312-981-7200 for Wildcard Wednesday. Get your requests in now. Any artist, any song, anything. 312-981-7200. Coming up after the 3 o'clock news, Matthew Hoffman is going to join us. He's the programmer for the Pickwick Theater Classic Film Series, and he's going to be screening Some Like It Hot this Tuesday, the 13th, on the big screen at the Pickwick Theater. And his Park Ridge Public Library Film Series is going to start on March 1st, and we'll talk to him about all of that. Right now, though, live in studio, my guest is Tom Britton, who's the creator of Freak Show and Tell, which is a mashup of science, history, and insanity. And it's playing the next three Sundays at the Trickery, 3553 North Halstead. And you're also going to be appearing at the Elgin Microfest on Saturday.
Yeah, Elgin Community College has a big, so it's a micro festival, but it's also got a micro brew element. So there's booze and there's food.
Mm-hmm.
And there's two shows. So that's all for the same ticket price. You go to freakshowtell.com. You can find their link to their tickets at Elgin. All that stuff's at freakshowandtell.com. And then I'm doing Freak Show and Tell between 7 and 8 p.m. Then there'll be a brief intermission. Then the Queens Cartoonists are performing for an hour. And they're a live jazz band, but they play, let's call it, cartoon music. So it started around like the Betty Boop era.
Yeah.
Well, it really started when sound could even be put into a movie.
Right.
So you're not just tinkling on a piano as Buster Keaton does his piece. You could actually put the sound in there. Start there. So all those very old cartoons into about the Warner Brothers era, but really early. Not the Warner Brothers I grew up on.
Yeah.
Not the Looney Tunes Comedy Hour. That was a very involved, like, orchestra.
Right.
This is more that other style of music. And it's
That's very interesting.
Yeah, it's very cool. Very, very fun to see performed live.
Yeah.
Because you have to perform that. There's lots of, like, you know, weird noises that you don't just get out of a drum kit.
Right.
Without flailing around and reaching for oddball pieces.
Yeah. Wow, that's cool. That's
it should
really
be a fun
really
show.
Cool.
I'm looking forward to seeing. I've never seen them before. I've only seen them now on YouTube, if you look at Queens Cartoonists. But it looks like a heck of a show to open for.
And you'll be doing Freak Show and Tell. And people can get all the information on the website, which we have a link to on our Facebook page. So tell us about Freak Show and Tell for people who might not know.
So it's a journey through a bit of my life. It's a little bit of a narrative story, but within that I've got... So one of the first things I learned how to do was eat fire. 16, 17 years old, I'm learning from two guys how to eat fire. So I eat fire first.
Mm-hmm.
It kind of follows that story in a narrative progression. So this is the first thing I learned, so let me show you how this works. I do it first, but then my whole thing is explaining it. I want to break it down. You need to understand what I understood, which was, how am I doing this? I don't want you to just be a juggler who has no concept of gravity. What's pulling that back down to your hand? To me, you don't need to know that to do the trick. But to me, that's just as important as being entertained. Understanding how our world works a little bit is important.
Mm-hmm.
Then I move on to, I play with Tesla coils. But I do a piece that is from Nikola Tesla's show. And I make a point about this. He did a show. He had costume changes.
Really?
Once you have eight costume changes in your show, you're in theater. That is not a TED Talk. You had a script. You had a set. That's not quite Gaga, but it's Cher. Like, eight costume changes. He was also very vain. Have you ever seen pictures of Nikola Tesla? He knew he was a good-looking dude.
Right.
He was very an odd duck. So picture, like, a David Bowie appropriate to play him in one of these movies.
Yeah, yeah,
picture
yeah,
that
yeah.
guy doing science.
Yeah.
As a super genius. So we had a show. So I'm doing a cover, a piece from his show with his invention, with two Tesla coils in a box.
Mm-hmm.
And I light light bulbs with my bare hands and fire with my fingertips. And all that happens is that in order for me to even explain to you what's happened, I got to really briefly explain DC and AC current. So you end up getting like a fourth grade version of the understanding, but now you see the difference, mm-hmm. and that's why I'm not dead. Moving on to glass walking. And so it really is sort of a narrative tale, but also there's this little pop science. Now it's 18 and over because the jokes and the it's BYOB.
Mm-hmm.
We're gonna be drinking and doing crotch jokes,
right.
So you know, leave the kids at home,
right?
But a babysitter's appropriate. You can bring them to Microfest if you want. I'm doing an hour long version there, and it'll be about PG-13, I would say.
Yeah.
It's really PG-10. I'm not dropping f bombs,
right?
My dirtiest on stage, I'm not dropping f bombs,
right?
But some of the innuendos at the trickery show, they're not gonna fly over their head,
right?
Nikola Tesla was a very interesting dude and a very messed up man sexually. And we chat about that on stage.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, he was asexual. He was in love with a pigeon.
Whoa.
Oh, go online and read his love letters to a white dove. He did not understand why they could not get married. And here's one of his problems. He would just mention that. Now, look.
Like in casual conversation.
Oh, yeah. So it's 2018, right? You let your freak flag fly, brother. Whatever you're into. As long as it's all consenting adults, you're not actually able to do anything with that pigeon. Sure, be in love with a pigeon. What do I care,
yeah.
right? But at a dinner party in, say, 1906, maybe even if you were homosexual or bisexual, you keep that close to the vest.
Right.
You don't want to start walking in as a transgender person either in 1906, especially when that dinner party. Why are you having a dinner party? Well, it's because George Westinghouse is there.
Oh.
It's because the aviator's there.
Right.
You need a check written from a powerful man, and you're walking around with a cocktail glass going, you know, I don't really like sex, but I do like this one pigeon very much. You're a weirdo. And it cost him millions in potential
wow.
engagement because you just didn't want to, you know, especially then. They were much more judgmental than we would be now
yeah.
even. But I don't know if I want to know that about my business partner.
No.
That's a you thing. You can keep that to you if you don't mind. For the first couple of years of our partnership,
yeah.
at least, you know.
Yeah.
And so it sort of limited him. So these discussions make for awkward rides home with your 9-year-old.
Right. Yeah.
Especially
because
some of the jokes I can't do on radio. They're a little edgy.
Sure.
So, yeah, you don't want to have that conversation.
Yeah. No. No. So Freak Show and Tell, when did you first start this show? Because it's and tell me how it's evolved over the time.
So it was originally called Professor Tom's World of Wonders. And I used the title. So all that professor is a title in the sideshow. If you're doing an act and you're a contortionist, statistically in the Freak Show, the same number of people do not want to talk on stage as at any other company. They don't want to get in front of people.
Yeah.
They're petrified of it, but they're the contortionist. So if you don't want to talk your act, when a lot of times we didn't have the technology to play music, these things would break. We're touring all over the country. So popping in a CD now is an option. It wasn't in 1995, 1997 even. The technology would just break. It gets waterlogged. So you would go on stage and I would professor your act. Ladies and gentlemen, behold, Nick DiGilio, not born like you or I, with a rubber-like man who can put his foot, watch as it goes right behind his head, just like that. It hurts you and I, but Nick DiGilio, completely painless. And I knew your act, and I would sort of talk you through the act.
Oh,
that's
okay.
Nick DiGilio, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls.
Right.
Now we turn to our left. That's what's like barking from the inside.
Got it.
Talking the show. Professor on the World of Wonders was the first sideshow I worked in. It's a fun idea, not a good name. So it launched in 2006. It was critically well received, but as often happens, not well attended.
Yeah.
The critics loved it. All 7 of them per show who showed up. All the bloggers. That's 9 people.
Yeah.
I got 50 seats to fill. I was going to kill the show.
Mm-hmm.
That happens all the time. You just churn, you make another show. That's the nice thing about being a writer and producer is, okay, that didn't work. Let's try a different thing.
Yeah.
And then about 8 months later, my wife, who I've now been with for 21 years and married for almost 17 years. So this is my partner in life.
Yeah.
For half my life.
Yeah.
My wife says to me, when are you going to do that Professor Tom show again? And I said, honey, you were there. Why? Like, you and I are the ones who liked it. She goes, it sucks. That's my favorite show. Well, if you've ever been married to a woman that you actually like,
mm-hmm.
that's all it took.
Yeah.
I said, well, you'd say that then. I'll go rent a little theater. We'll produce it. And I don't care if anyone shows up.
Yeah.
And it, for whatever reason, lightning struck, and it was sold out for like 3 years.
Mm.
So thank my wife, as every, you know, man with any level of success should. If it hadn't been for her, I would have killed it.
And where did the title come from? Because you changed the title, obviously. So
I was sitting on a train and thought Freak Show and Tell sounded. I thought maybe the title was part of the problem. And maybe it was, because I never ran it again under that name.
Mm-hmm.
And I came up with Freak Show and Tell. And then when I told my wife's name is Christine, when I told Christine, she was like, yeah, that's much better.
Yeah.
That'll sell. It explains the show. It's a freak show and a show and tell.
Right.
In one. So I thought it was a clever little mashup.
It is.
There. And
it
a
is.
Mashup. I describe myself as a mashup. The show as a mashup. So I like the sort of portmanteau that I've created.
And in the years since you've been doing it, how has it changed? And do you up? Do you, is
I had
it,
to.
It's updated?
So have you ever seen Bob's Burgers, the Topsy episode?
Yes, I have. Yes.
100% wrong. Thomas Edison had nothing to do with the murder of Topsy the elephant.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing. Tangentially, okay, so what happened was, back then, and this is up into like the 1940s, you and I could have started a company called Apple Computer,
mm-hmm.
and there's nothing they could have done about it. Same thing with Apple Music, the Beatles, famously, and then Apple Computer here, and they had an issue later, but not at the time. Back then, we could have started a company called Edison Electronics, and we did.
Mm-hmm.
There were tons of companies called Edison. This muddies the waters. Also, his oldest son was a junior and a bit of a loser,
mm-hmm.
and he would sit on the board of directors and give his name to the company. So a company under the banner of Edison killed Topsy the elephant. I had a really nice 15-minute story about Topsy the elephant and how Thomas Edison murdered her in a fight with Nikola Tesla.
Mm-hmm.
Out the door.
Yeah.
Had to scrap it. Had to kill the whole thing. Broke my heart. If you've ever worked on a piece, you know, a dramatic piece or a special piece of comedy, those jokes become precious little diamonds to you. It's your act. It's what pays your bills. It's what feeds you. It's what clothes you. And you got to gut it.
Yeah.
And you're like, oh, no, that's a solid 11 minutes of crowd-pleasing,
right.
interesting, funny, dramatic, an elephant's going to die.
Right.
It's engaging. And then you're like, oh, no, it's not true. So I've had to update the science. And then as I got better understanding, a lot of times I'm performing this at like science centers.
Mm-hmm.
So I've had people come up and I'm not wrong, but I could be more right. So I was really dumbing down AC/DC a little too much. And a teacher who taught that kind of stuff at the high school level said, here's a thing I do. And she gave me a much better paragraph to explain them. And now I wasn't still sailing over your head, but it made me a lot more technically accurate, which I'm sure was just making the eye twitch of every electrical engineer who ever saw the show. Was I got that I was being funny, but yeah, that's not quite right.
Mm-hmm.
So I've also had to adapt it. The problem with doing a reality-based show is that you know, facts matter.
Yeah.
As much as jokes.
That's true.
And it breaks your heart when you have to change them.
Yeah. And so you brought some stuff.
Yeah, this is for my personal collection. I thought I'd just do like a little show and tell here. I brought some fun stuff. We're on the theme of sort of fraud.
Yeah.
I basically live in a one bedroom apartment that's more museum than man.
Mm-hmm.
There's a bed of nails in the corner. There's a two-headed duckling that you've seen on a shelf. It's a very little, my wife, indulges my quirks, to say the least.
Yeah.
It's not like a horror show, but there's a lot of just oddball nicks and knacks and tchotchkes. And so I brought a few on the theme of fraud, just something I've been thinking about lately. I brought some quack medical stuff. So this is it's an advertisement for the 3-day cure for men. This is the same guy in all three photos. That's how much better you get. That's an original. What I love about it is that as you read the copy, so what's it promising? 3 days.
Yeah.
It'll cure gonorrhea and gleet.
Right.
Don't Google that last one. Just, you know what gonorrhea is. That'll do. It'll cure a bad disease you don't want and are embarrassed to go to the doctor for. That's why you're going to the pharmacist, you see.
I see.
Once they've got you a little bit ashamed, that's how the con man takes advantage. You know, it's your shame or your greed that always leads you down that garden path. They promise the 3-day cure guaranteed or your money back, but nowhere on there does it have any indication what this is. Is it a pill? Is it a cream? Is it a powder?
No, it doesn't say anything.
Nothing. Because the law didn't exist back then. Like, we complain about all the, at the end of every commercial, is like, side effects include death and radial reading and diarrhea and driving bad. But that law is there for a very good reason. Because they're selling you, oh, Lord knows what, these patent nostrums, as they were called, usually started with copious amounts of codeine and cocaine, added a bit of alcohol. Now, I know you're thinking, that's describing a heck of a party, Tom, and it is, but not a medicine you would want to give to, say, a small child or an elderly person.
Right.
We would have a good time. They might actually die from this kind of stuff.
This is the same guy.
He's getting better.
He's getting so much better.
He and looks like a zombie in the first
one. So is his mustache. His mustache gets even better.
It gets happier.
Yeah, that's great.
This is one of my favorites. This is just a piece out of a magazine print ad from the early 1900s. It explains that cocaine will cure dandruff. So it's a young lady's happily scrubbing her hair. And the ad copy is some of my favorite. There is one disease that the least skilled can diagnose. It's symptoms. scales of dandruff in the hair. I like the idea that it's the least skilled can diagnose. Cocaine is so easy to do. Anyone can. You're thinking, Tom, cocaine's too hard. I can't do cocaine. Oh, but you can with the cocaine dandruff cure. It was just a bit of cocaine in an emulsion, like a cream rinse, like cheap Suave shampoo or coconut oil. Sprinkle a little cocaine in there. Rub it in your scalp. Now, my bet is you just don't care you have dandruff anymore.
Here's the thing that I love about this. The company that's selling this is on Randolph Street in Chicago.
Yeah, it is. Look at the collar next to it, too. That gives you an idea of the date, how high that collar is they're selling.
Yeah. Yeah. So this was on Randolph Street in
Randolph
Chicago.
Randolph Street in Chicago.
You can get your Coke dandruff cure.
And I'm sure everyone used it only. It's like medicinal marijuana.
Right.
Like before it was completely legal in California. What are your symptoms? Well, I'm not high. Oh, right. I got the cure for you. If you're not high, have you tried... Thanks, Doc.
All right, hang out a second, all right? Todd Britton is with us. He's the creator of Freak Show and Tell, a mashup of science, history, and insanity. A terrific show, and he'll be performing it for the next three Sundays at the Trickery at 3453 North Halsted. We will take a quick break, and we'll come back and talk more with Tom right after this. Welcome back, everybody. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. We're going to talk about embarrassing things that we all do and why we do that. Matthew Hoffman is going to join us after the 3 o'clock news. He's the programmer for the Pickwick Theater Classic Film Series, and he's got some great stuff coming up. We're going to have another an aggravating SNL quiz to do as well. But right now, my guest live in studio is Tom Britton, the creator of Freak Show and Tell. It's a mashup of science, history, and insanity. You can see it for the next three Sundays at the Trickery, 3453 North Halsted. He'll also be appearing at the Elgin Microfest this Saturday. Freakshowtell.com is the website. We have a link on our Facebook page. You can get all the information. And you brought some other stuff down.
I brought some toys. Remember, too, if you go to the Elgin Microfest, I'm bringing my bed of nails. I don't use it on stage. It's for you.
Dan laid on that bed of nails. Yes,
Dan and Esmeralda, I think. Or maybe it was just you were the only one that had the
guts. I did the bed of nails. Esmeralda did the transferring fire with your fingers.
Oh, yeah, she did.
Esmeralda, you did the transferring fire with your fingers?
Yes. No, I did the nails, too, and it was uncomfortable. I laid on it for like 30 seconds and went, no, thank you.
I was about it.
It's a weird, relaxing thing for some, right? Yeah. Esmeralda, I think if you worked in the sideshow after about 3 days... That I think it's more you're thinking about it and it's all up in your head. Once you do it a few times and you're on stage, worried about your costume and smiling and all that, it becomes nothing.
Oh, sure.
It becomes nothing. Another day at work, 9 to 5.
Now, you brought down a little Tesla item, a Tesla invention. Now, this was used again by quacks.
Yep, this is quack medicine, but it also is legitimate.
Okay.
So, okay. It's one of these products that has legitimate use. It's called a violet wand.
A violet wand.
It is a couple of Tesla coils run in sequence. So small Tesla coils.
Right.
And then a bit of an air gap. So you can hear it on mic.
Okay, that sounds...
I can't get it too close to the microphone or it will arc.
Okay.
I don't think it'll blow up the mic, but it'll make a nasty noise.
Okay.
So the legitimate use is then you can arc static electricity from the tip of this thing. It just fits in your hands, a little tiny wand.
Little handheld wand, yeah. and it's got a metal tip on the end.
And that's removable, and I'll get to why in a second.
Okay.
So the legitimate use, I can dial this up and down, so I can go a heavier voltage or lower voltage, and it's used because if there's an air gap in something, it will detect it. So what needs to be sealed? Well, every tank of gasoline on a jetliner.
Right.
Right, on an airplane, right? You test the gas tanks before they leave the factory to go get welded into the plane.
Right.
You then test them again before the plane, you know, their sequences.
Right, right.
Every F-15 fighter jet, because, you know, jet fuel, if an ounce escapes, you know, this is a huge problem.
Right.
It's also used for everything on the SpaceX that just went up. Everything, your liquid nitrogen, your oxygen, your water, you know, if you're on a proper space station, your sewer,
yeah,
everything's airtight. So legitimate use there. But because it arcs electricity and it feels, now you can hear that over the mic.
Right.
It is not mic'd. That is its surface current crawling through the walls and hitting the mic diaphragm. That's how weird this sort of DC current is to play with.
And the current, by the way, you're putting your hand up to it,
mm-hmm,
and the current is visible. Like, it looks like little lightning strikes are hitting your hand.
And because I am, just like every other human, an electromagnetic powered thing, I twitch a little bit, and
yeah,
it kind of goes a little wonky. So here's the quack science part. I can feel it working. So what does it cure? Well, what do you got? baldness, amnesia, female troubles, gentleman's problems. And then these attachments. So there's one that's glass, looks like little fingers.
Yeah.
You crank that up and you run it through your hair where the baldness and thinning is occurring.
And what does that feel like?
Pretty cool, but it's just tingling. Here, I actually...
All right.
I'll start you on the low voltage.
Yeah, please.
Because it's more, pardon the pun, but more shocking than painful.
Okay.
So just, I'll hold still. You move closer.
Okay. Let me get up here.
And then you'll get an idea.
Ooh.
Okay.
Okay.
So now a little bit there. But,
wow.
So now relax your finger, really relax your hand and get close, and you'll feel that like, you feel that twitching.
Oh, yeah.
So this is then if you are what am I? A con man, I would say.
Yeah.
I was going to use a nastier word. I had to find a friendly one. A con man, a dastardly fiend. I would then say that's evidence that it's working. So it's curing.
Is that you feel that little twitch.
You feel that twitch. Because
the first time it was like a shock, and my impulse was to yank away.
Yes.
And then
which is the correct
time,
impulse.
Right. And the second time it was a shock. I kind of yanked away. But then the third time there was like a massaging sort of weird twitchy thing that was making my hands move. That was making my hand move.
So if I had a reputation, I had something that looked like a fake doctor's office, I had a very serious voice and gray hair and a lab coat on, you would lie still while the treatment was proceeding. Placebo effect happens. Now, the problem is they say it's curing cancer.
Yeah.
And that's where it becomes just downright evil.
Yeah.
Like, I don't mind what you believe. If you also do this, I have no problem. You want to pray towards Mecca or light a candle? Okay, I'm not Catholic. I'm not Muslim.
Yeah.
But if you also go to chemotherapy, of course I have no problem with that. Who would? What monster would attack your religious beliefs? So if you believe this does something, that's fine. But it would be recommended that you stop taking whatever drugs and go. It's like you want to put crystals on someone.
This is it.
This is the cure-all. And that's where I get a little angry with quack medicine. It becomes not so much fun.
Yeah.
Is when an 8-year-old child is told, well, you just pray this way every day, facing this, drink this, wear this, hold this crystal of healing in your hand, and you can stop going to the doctor.
Right.
And I'm like, wait, also go to the doctor and bring your lucky crystal with you. Absolutely. That psychology is powerful.
Is this in the show?
This one is not, but I do have Tesla coils.
The Tesla coils.
Two different style of Tesla coils. So you've seen the big ones that play Doctor Who.
Yeah.
That's one style of Tesla coil. This is a third, and then I have a second version.
Yeah.
And they're all Tesla's invention. Once upon a time, I think when tubes were in everything in the world, a Tesla coil was in everything.
Mm-hmm.
Every radio that was sold, every television that was sold, before the transistor really got tiny and solid state, which is why he won not one, but two Nobel Prizes. One for the application. It's a variation on a transformer. It's a very big concept in electricity, so you get a Nobel for that. But he also won one posthumously when we landed people on the moon, and Tesla coils as an application were very important. No one ever did that before. Two for the same invention will never happen again. They plugged the loophole. So while Tesla did die penniless, he did die a very sad man. He could never get that dove to love him back.
No.
And he was a little bit of a weirdo, and he died a very sad, broken, fragile man, But at least he accomplished big, big things. And he does have two Nobel Prizes, and no one else can win two for the same thing. At least he's got that going for him.
Now, before we let you go, you brought down a banner, like a poster banner.
Yeah, have you ever heard that before?
It's the amazing chicken. What's it?
Amazing man-eating chicken.
The amazing man-eating chicken. So what is the amazing man-eating chicken?
So this piece I've actually done on stage before. The amazing man-eating chicken solves a problem P.T. Barnum had. He opened a few businesses and they failed spectacularly. Mm. And then he opened a dime store museum in New York. So a dime store museum is it's everything. It's professional wrestling followed by a sword swallower, followed by a Van Gogh, followed by a giraffe. It's whatever you'd pay a nickel to see.
Okay.
It's a mashup. But it means you'd stay in there a long time. There's a line around the block and it's his first success. So like any businessman or greedy person, the problem is if you're waiting outside of my museum, that means that my money is in your pockets. And this is a huge problem for P.T. Barnum.
Right.
So he starts creating things to pull you through. So one famously, he'd say, see the egress. Must see the egress. Egress is Latin for exit. You're just walking towards the exit faster and faster and faster. Another one is this. He needed exhibits. So you're sitting there and you're looking at like a llama. And you're going to go look at a Vincent Van Gogh portrait next.
Right.
I'm at a far end of the building. Someone like me on a little platform. Ladies and gentlemen, behind me you see the amazing man-eating chicken. Be clear. This is real. It is alive. Its heart beats. It breathes. Its eyes blink. If I'm proven false, $1,000 to any man, woman, or child. Okay. It is a poultry catastrophe. The man-eating chicken stands over 5.5 feet tall. The man-eating chicken weighs over 185 pounds. Pregnant women and children are cautioned. You never say for what. Just caution.
Yeah.
You walk in, you pay your nickel, because you're drawn like a moth to a flame, but now you're moving quick. You walk in, close the door, what do you see? A little curtain. I whip back the curtain, and there is a man eating chicken. And you laugh, and you go, that son of a gun, Barnum, got me again. He did a bunch. He did the giant Kentucky Redwood bat. It has a span of over 4.5 feet. It weighs over 55 kilograms. It was a Louisville Slugger with those dimensions. A giant Kentucky Redwood bat.
Very good.
Lydia wearing nothing but her bear skin. But now you're hip to the idea. So, of course, it's Lydia wearing a bear skin.
Right.
But you never knew what. But then you'd say, see a man eat fire. And you go, that's fake. Nope.
Nope. It's a guy
eating
fire.
You never knew what was going to be a trick and what was going to be a miracle as far as you knew.
The amazing man eating chicken.
You must see the amazing man eating chicken.
Right. Oh, man. Great stuff, Tom. Great
Thank
stuff.
Thank you so much.
The creator of Freak Show and Tell. It's a mashup of science, history, and insanity. Performing the next three Sundays at the Trickery, 3453 North Halstead in Chicago. Always a pleasure, man.
Thank you so much for having me.
Always welcome back to come back. All right. We're going to take a break. We got the news coming up next right after this.